pray for something that's dear to me and Patsy ourselves. We got a couple of grandchildren that are kind of caught up in a situation, not at their own choosing, but because of their parents. And if you would just pray for their safety, I would appreciate that. And it's just something that's really burdened my heart, and I would ask you to do that. The Lord knows what he's doing. The Lord's in charge. But I would appreciate those prayers, and I appreciate all of you that are praying for me. And I want to encourage you to continue to do so. Even while I'm teaching, you can pray for me. I wouldn't mind a bit. But I want to do a good job before the Lord, and I want to please him. And some of you have made some very positive comments, and I appreciate that. But I don't want a big head, and I do want to stay humble, and I want the Lord to use me as much as he possibly can. And it is my desire to be a help to you. And how many of you have ever taken college courses before? You know, you go there and they give you a syllabus about what you can expect through the teachings and the class and of that nature. And I can't give you a full syllabus, but for the time being, what the Lord has burdened on my heart is to, we're going to start, not today, but here probably next week, if I get through this lesson all the way, start talking about what the church really is. A lot of people have a misunderstanding as to what the church is. And I'd like to cover that, but then I'd like to begin teaching on things that concern the family, the Christian home. And I don't know about you, but we can all use that information at any time. Whether you're a parent, a grandparent, or a prospective parent, you know, all these things. And it's not because I'm an expert. I'm in no way, no shape, or form an expert. But I do have the Word of God. And I'm going to trust the Lord, and I would encourage you, if you like looking ahead and you know, studying ahead, that you would go into Deuteronomy 4, chapter 4, chapter 6, Ephesians, of course, Colossians. Study those epistles, those Ephesians and Colossians, but also study the Old Testament. And there's a lot of information in that. And again, I'm no expert. I have made more mistakes than done things correctly. I have learned in my life to never say that I will never do something or that my kids will never do something. And the Lord knows how to humble you, doesn't he? And so let's ask the Lord to help us this morning. Let's ask the Lord to work in our hearts. With the help of the Lord this morning, I'm going to be teaching on maturing in the Lord. Maturing in the Lord. And there's a lot of immature Christians out there. And I'm talking about people who've been saved for decades. They are not where they ought to be, and it's not to put anyone down. I love the fact that our pastor focuses on oil and honey, that we want to, you know, cleanse wounds, we want to help wounds, we want to heal, and we definitely want to be an encouragement to you. And that's my job. I want to be an encouragement to you. And now sometimes, how many of you have ever heard preaching and it stung? And you know, you spend the morning shining up your shoes and getting everything all shiny, and the preacher comes in and he steps all over your toes. You know, we need that. We do need that, and we always need to have a heart that is ready to hear and receive the Word of God. And if God shows us something, then instead of getting mad, we need to say, thank you, Lord, and we need to just pour our hearts out to him. Brother McDonald, would you open us in prayer, sir? Amen. Amen. If you'll take your Bibles, let's go to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, or 13, chapter 13. Already starting mistakes here this morning. Oh, my Lord, help me. I talked about maturity. How many of you realize a number is not a sign of maturity? Okay. And I hate to admit it, but I think I started maturing around 40. And so just keep that in mind, if you will. I had a lot of zeal. I had a lot of ambition, but I wasn't necessarily mature. And I hope that I can say that I have matured some, but that's not a question that I can answer if you were to ask me. That'd be something you need to ask somebody else. Has Brother Beck matured? Has Brother Beck grown in the Lord? And, you know, I could tell you all the things I want you to hear, but the proof of the pudding is, what do others see in us? And do they take note of that we've been with Jesus and things of that nature? And, of course, we'll cover some of that. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11, if you're there with me, say amen. Amen. The Bible says here, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. And it's just kind of a launching verse for this morning and the lesson that the Lord has put on my heart to teach. And so again, let's pray and ask the Lord to help us. And but when we think about this, the Apostle Paul, remember, he grew up in a religious home, no doubt. He grew up knowing the scriptures, being taught the scriptures. And of course, he became a teacher of the scriptures and one who was an enforcer of the word. But then, thank the Lord, he met Jesus. But you have to imagine his childhood that, you know, everything he was taught, he believed. And every one of us are that way. You know, when we're born, we have no reason to doubt our parents. We have no reason to doubt those, the things that our parents put us in, whether it be public school, homeschool, Christian school. You know, we had the automatic assumption that we are to trust those that taught us. However, we need to come to this point in our life. Have you ever considered, are you wrong? What you've been taught is wrong. Now, I'm not asking anyone to doubt the Bible. I'm not asking anyone to doubt, you know, what you've been taught, unless you come to find out it's not true. You know, when we think about the Bible is the truth, and it will make us free. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord for that. If we know it, we need to be studying the Word of God. I've been emphasizing that quite a bit in the last few lessons that I've taught, and I want to encourage you to keep studying. Studying it every day. Every single day. Even if you can't read a lot, just read one chapter at least. Get the Word of God in you and allow God to work through that and to guide and direct you. But there were many things. For example, I grew up in a semi-religious home. And I say because we were hit and miss going to church. We were hit and missing that. I grew up in a United Methodist Church, in case some of you didn't know that. I told you about how we were taught to do all things in moderation, and they weren't kidding. Even sinful things, they said it was okay to do in moderation. Well, it's not. So just keep that in mind. But as I became older, as the Holy Spirit convicted me, I got saved. As I started listening to the Word of God, started attempting to read the Word of God, I started learning that things that I had heard when I was growing up weren't necessarily true. They came close to being true. My mother, who didn't get saved until 4 years before she died, God allowed her to get cancer to bring her to the place where she needed to look to Jesus for salvation. And I'm glad that he did that, and I'm glad that I know that I will see her again. But she was raised, and I thought it was a Bible verse as much as she used it, cleanliness is next to godliness. How many have ever heard that? I mean, it is a great concept. It really is. And we ought to work to keep ourselves clean, but it's not in the Bible. And neither are we saved by works. And of course, that's throughout the Bible, if you'll just really study it and take it for what it says. But the Apostle Paul, when you look at the changes that were in his life, all the things that he used to believe until he met Jesus, then now he has clear understanding of the Word of God. Clear understanding. Where he went from believing one way, he went to believing the way that God instructed him to believe. And then, not only that, he trained others to believe that as well. And I've told you that we will be concentrating on some of that, that we need to be teachers. We need to be helping others in Christ, every single one of us. Not one of us is not qualified. If you're living and breathing, you're born again, you can help others to know more about the Lord Jesus Christ. And God uses tidbits of information from others' experiences to help me, to help you, and we can rely on that and thank the Lord for it. If you will, let's go ahead and turn now to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. And of course, 2 Corinthians 5:17, while you're turning to Hebrews 5, I just want to remind you, the Bible says that once we get saved, we become a new creature, a new creation in Christ. Old things pass away, behold, all things become new. But in Hebrews chapter 5, we're going to pick up in verse 10, and it's just my custom to do this. You're there, I'd like for you to let me know. And beginning in verse 10, it says, called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Of course, this is speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. How many of you have hard-headed children or grandchildren, or maybe you're hard-headed and sometimes you don't always listen to what's being said? We're dull of hearing, and we kind of hinder ourselves because of that. But here, the Lord, through the inspiration, giving the inspiration to the author of Hebrews, is letting you know that they were dull of hearing. It says, verse 12, for when for the time you, or ye, ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong drink. Do you see that? So stopping here at this verse for the moment, looking at what it is here, there are always the expectations that God has, the expectations that man has, and honestly, if we are born again, they should work along with each other. They should coincide in our lives. And as we look at what Paul, I believe the author of Hebrews was Paul, as we look at what he is admonishing the brethren here to understand is that they are not at the place where they should be. And yes, some of his letters were stinging, if you will. Of course, the epistles that he wrote to the Corinthians, those were stinging epistles, but he did it for them to edify them, to help them to be able to be what God would have that church to be. And as you look at what is taking place here, I'm glad that God doesn't worry more about how we feel and are feeling good about ourselves than he does to help us to know how to be right before him. And when you think about what Paul is addressing here, he spent his whole life, his whole saved life, teaching others the Word of God, showing them by example what they ought to be doing. He took certain under his wing. They traveled with him on his missionary journeys. And boy, he told them what to do. But also every church that God allowed him to establish, every group or congregation that he preached to, he was always teaching them. He was always admonishing them to receive the Word of God, to obey the Word of God. And we would do wise to do that as well. We would be wise to do that as well. And so looking at what he's talking about, he says you ought to be a teacher. You should be helping others. But because you're only taking in milk, which is basically weakened scripture, not that the scripture is weak, but they're dull of hearing. They're not allowing it to come into their lives nor putting it into practice. They're not at the place that they need to be. I would say that even though I am up here teaching, please listen to me well, I am not at the place that I ought to be in my knowledge because I could always stand to learn more. It would help me to continue to learn. And I do try to study. I do try to prepare myself and things of that nature. But knowing years past, times wasted, not taking advantage of the time, not using the time wisely, it hinders our spiritual growth. And we need to be very careful with that because we want to stand before the Lord and hear the words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. But not everybody's going to hear that. Even though you're saved, you may not hear that. But I want to encourage you, let's pick up and let's do right. Let's be at the place that we need to be. And so he's talking about you ought to be teachers, but now you're needing someone to teach you. And he said, again. And you know, some lessons I didn't pick up on the very first time. What about you? Even though it was taught clear as day, plain as could be, I just didn't pick up on it. Either my heart wasn't ready or I wasn't really listening. Whatever the case may be, but then thank God for his mercy, he allows me to hear it again, and it brings about conviction, and I have a choice to make. I can be convicted and repent or accept what the Lord has given me and do better and do what God would expect me to do, or I can just ignore it and say, meh, I'm good. And it would be very foolish to do the latter, would it not? And so let's be very careful about that. Let's be very careful. But here, then it says, teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. There's the ABCs of salvation. That's a good doctrinal training book. And there's some other books that I use to help, the people that I minister to. And when I lead someone to Christ, I'll give them this little booklet, After Salvation, What? That's one of the booklets that I use. And when we think about it, our whole purpose is to train others in the doctrine, to train others how to be able to walk with Christ. There are people watching you, whether you realize it or not, whether you think you have influence in their life or not, they're watching you to see how you do. And we all do that. I look up to our pastor. I hope that you look up to our pastor. I don't worship him, but I am very thankful for him. And so I want you to have that same mindset that, and he knows that people are looking to him. And I think that's why he gets up here and very adamantly says, look, you do not worship me. I am nobody. And it's the same way that we all should be. We're nobodies, but God made us somebody. And God wants to use us. How many of you want to be used of God? You don't have to raise your hand.
How many of you want to be used of God? Well, if you're wanting to be used of God and you're not being used of God, you need to ask yourself why. And maybe it's because we're hindering him ourselves. And I want to encourage you not to hinder the Lord. He has the best for you. He wants to help you. And he has always been faithful to me. And I praise the Lord for that. But the first principles of the oracles of God. And of course, you have seen the vast difference of teachers that have come before you and taught up here or preached up here. Much experience has been brought to this church throughout the years. Even people that are no longer here, it doesn't matter. God used the experience and the knowledge that they had to help us to grow. And so let's remember that. Let's keep that in mind. But to whom much is given, much is required. And we kind of lose sight of that. But, you know, we are responsible for the things that we receive. As you are sitting here this morning hearing my voice, you're not responsible to me for what you hear. You're responsible to the Lord for what you hear. And you're also responsible for what you do with what you hear. And this is something that a lot of times we just kind of lose sight of it because we get going through the motions and, you know, hey, it's Sunday, going to church. Okay, when is Sunday going to be over? Oh, my goodness, I got to get to the lake. Or, you know, I got to go out to eat. But seriously, we ought to have our mindset, this is the Lord's day. This is his day. And we should be focused on prioritizing him on this day, which means receiving his word, preparing our hearts for this day when it begins, getting ready to hear Sunday school or the preaching hour. But then what we hear, make sure that we study to see if these things are so, as the Bereans did. Or we go ahead and we know it's true and we put it into practice. Put it into practice. Are you looking for opportunities to be a blessing to others? To be able to help another brother or sister? How many of you have gone through some traumatic experiences? Would you raise your hand? Do you know why God allowed you to go through that? He wanted to strengthen you. He wanted you to trust him more. He wanted to increase your faith. But he also knows that down the road, someone is going to be in your path that you're going to be able to have an influence over, that you can help them to go through that very same situation because God brought you through it. Aren't you glad for that? I'm so thankful the Lord brings us through things. Now, I'm not saying it's comfortable to go through the things that he brings me through, but he's always been faithful. And he has always, without a doubt, allowed me to come into contact with someone who is experiencing the same thing or something close to the same thing that I went through and that he brought me through. And therefore, I'm able to give them hope. I'm able to give them encouragement. And that's a blessing. That's a great blessing. I want the Lord to be able to use me and God would use you. But then it talks about that they're not able to, they have need of milk, which is weakened down or very basic word of God, and not strong meat. And that is the deep things of the word of God. And so when we think of that, God feeds us just as we feed our infant baby that is born to us. We raise it up on the mother's breast milk and it gets stronger and it grows and then they're able to take on it and start eating that yucky baby food that's prepackaged and things of that nature, ground up carrots or mushed up carrots. But then they start taking the meat. Praise the Lord for the day they start eating actual meat. Amen. But that's to help them to grow, to be able to be nourished, to have strength, and to be able to be stronger. And that's the same thing in a Christian's life. We need the milk of the word as we begin right after salvation, but then we need to grow to where we're able to receive meat. How many of you like a good steak? Hallelujah. Amen. That's good stuff. I don't want to make you hungry before lunch, but I like milk. I really do. I still drink milk today, but I really like a good steak, and I'm glad that I can take both. I am glad that I can take both, but we ought to be to the point that we are no longer solely dependent upon that milk or the beginning of things. And I want to encourage you to remember that, to keep going on and studying, to do all that you can. Verse 13, he gives explanation, for everyone that useth milk is unskillful in what? In the word of righteousness. For he is a baby. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. The more that we ingest the Word of God, I'll just put it that way, the more that we take it in, the easier it is for you and I to distinguish if something is good or if it is evil, if it's bad. And this is something that God would have us to do. We're to try the spirits, are we not? To see whether they be of God or not. And if someone comes to you saying that Jesus was not born in the flesh, that we are to reject that person, we're not even to say God bless you, not even have that person in our homes. Well, that's rude. That's mean. Hey, listen, it's God trying to protect us. It's God trying to help us. So we need to be mature. We need to make sure that we are maturing each and every day so that we are ready to be used of the Lord as he sees fit. Now, if you'll go to 1 Peter chapter 2 with me. First Peter chapter 2. We'll begin in verse 1. Now remember, we're to be mature and not childish. When I was a child, I speak as a child. If I was a child, all those things that Paul said about being a child. But as we grow, we should become more mature in our actions and or reactions. How many of you understand what I'm saying there? Peter, when he wrote this epistle, he says, wherefore, laying aside all malice, that's evil intent, wanting to do harm to others, all guile, that's deceit, and hypocrisies, and envies, and all evil speakings. Verse 2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If so be, you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Has God been gracious to you? Do you have someone that is a thorn in your flesh? I can't believe I didn't get an amen there. I have people that are thorns in my flesh. I'll be honest with you. But God gives me grace to deal with those people. I don't always think the best towards these people. Can we just be honest? But God wants me to react the right way towards these people. Whatever the situation may be, doesn't matter. As we grow in the Lord, how many of you remember seeing little children throw temper tantrums because they didn't get their way, right? Or they're fighting with a sibling. Now, I was the only brat. I mean, the only child. Okay? So I didn't have to share. I didn't want to share. But the Lord blessed me with four boys. You know, I grew up the only child. I never had to fight with my siblings or anything of that nature. The only time that I had a problem with it was when I got in trouble because they never believed me when I blamed the dog for doing it. But, you know, we're raising four boys, and my wife comes from a family that, depending on how you look at the marriages in her family from her parents, she has either three siblings or 15. But my sons began to fight amongst each other. Now, again, raised in a home that I didn't have to worry about that. I was the only kid. I was the one they focused on. And so I was kind of, you know, spoiled. I still am somewhat. But when you think about it, I started seeing my kids fight, and I'm like, well, that's not of God. You shouldn't be fighting. And my wife's like, honey, they're just kids. They're siblings. They're going to fight, right? But when a toddler shows out, or if they want something that their brother or sister has, and they think they're just going to take it by force, that's showing their immaturity, correct? And, of course, they may get into a fist fight. They may get into things where blows are exchanged. They may throw bones at the other one's head or things of that nature. That's what happened in our house. But when you think about it, they have to learn to control themselves. Now, one of the things that I'm seeing in this generation is there's a whole lack of self-control. But as a maturing Christian, we should learn self-control. We should learn to ignore those fleshly desires to just bust out and take care of business and knock them one if we need to. There's been times, you know, the Bible says that I can't be a brawler. I understand that. But there's sometimes I just like to haul off and hit somebody. Can I be honest with you? I really would. But it won't be pleasing to him. Right? And what's it going to do to the person that I haul off and hit? It's not going to help them come to the Lord. It may turn them away from the Lord. But when we think about what he is saying here, he's saying, lay aside, put away these things, the desires to do evil to people, the desire to deceive someone. Did you know you can tell the truth in a deceitful way? You got to be careful of that. God's going to hold you accountable for that. All right? But here, put away all of the malice, the guile, the hypocrisies. I've already covered this with you in the class. You've already agreed, as I have to admit, we're all hypocrites in one way or another. Envies. What about that? Wanting, in that word, covetousness, desiring to have something that somebody else has or thinking that we deserve to have what somebody else has. Have you ever thought of this? Maybe God didn't give you something because he knew he couldn't trust you with it. That's something to take into consideration. And as a maturing Christian, that's what we need to do. We always need to be examining ourselves as mature Christians. It's not that I've made this decision, therefore it's settled for the rest of my life. No, I've got to make those decisions daily. I have to examine myself daily. Lord, have I carried out your will today? Lord, am I obeying what you would have me to do today? If I get covetous over another brother that gets a blessing from the Lord that I think that I should have too, or why didn't I get that? They got it, and I know I'm better than that. Comparing themselves amongst themselves, they became what? They were foolish. We are not to compare ourselves one to another. I have someone that I can compare myself to, and every time that I do compare myself to this person, I always fall short. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not to compare myself to Brother McDonald or Brother Ronnie. I'm not, you know, I'm not here to consider myself or compare myself to Pastor, but I am to compare myself to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he is the perfect image. He is the perfect example for each and every one of us. So as we mature, we learn to lay things aside that before were just very natural to come to us, and we did it with no problem, not even conviction hardly. But as you become older, guess what? That conviction will grow, and we will find out that we are either doing what God wants us to do or not. As we mature, we no longer want to do the sinful things that we used to do. Not everything that is in our flesh goes away immediately, but God does work in us to where we desire to stop doing those things that displease him. And we begin to abhor everything that isn't pleasing to him. As you grow in the Lord, that's maturing in the Lord. An immature Christian, they're not going to care. Well, I'm doing it. God knows it. God died for it, so it's okay for me to keep doing it. Be very careful with that mindset. Yes, God died for that sin. Yes, God knows that you do it, but God does not intend for you to continue to do so. What shall we sin that grace may abound? What was the answer? God forbid. Okay? And that was in Romans chapter 6. As you think about studying and trying to find out what that says, if you will now, turn with me to 1 Corinthians again. We're going to go to chapter 6 this time. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. While you're turning there, I want to ask you this question. Do you remember where you were when you met Christ? I'm talking about spiritually speaking. Do you remember how you behaved when you first met Christ, spiritually speaking? Okay. If you were like me, I was a mess. God showed mercy on me and to me by allowing me to hear the gospel more than once and putting people in my path that brought me to a place where I could hear the gospel. But again, there for a while, I was just trusting in what I was raised on and what I'd heard growing up because, hey, I trusted it was okay. Surely my parents wouldn't deceive me. And by the way, if your parents grow up not knowing the truth, they're deceived also, and they're just basically doing the best they can to teach you what they know. And be thankful that they even did that. Some parents don't even care about their kids. You understand what I'm saying? There are some parents, I can't believe it, I don't understand it, but there are some people out there who have children, they could care less about their children because it's all about them. But as you think about this, I remember the things that I did before I was saved. I remember the reputation I had before I was saved, okay? And before, I bragged about it. Before I met Jesus. And because why? It was cool to the world. The world was okay with it. I was kind of popular because the things that I used to do as an unsaved person. But then I met Jesus. But now, after having been saved, you know, since 1992, actually this month is my spiritual birth month, hallelujah, but 1992 I received Christ as my personal Savior, and then something changed. I was no longer content doing those things. I was no longer happy doing those things. And as I keep growing, I want to distance myself from those things, right? But then here comes another person that got saved, and they're doing this and they're doing that, and it's not right according to the scriptures, and if not careful, I forget where I was, and I start casting judgment on that person. Well, if they were really saved, they wouldn't be doing this. If they were truly born again, why are they continuing in that? Well, it seems I forgot my own past. It seems I forgot my own life. And we need to be very mindful of that, brothers and sisters. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, we're going to be reading in verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And we can stop there and go, amen. Preach it. Right? And we ought to preach it because that is the truth. That is the truth. People are going to hell. Now, God's not willing that any should perish. We should not be willing that any should perish. But look at verse 11. Now, if I'm not mistaken, the Apostle Paul is the human author that God used through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to write this epistle. Yes or no? He brings this point out. And such were some of you. But you are washed. But you are sanctified. But ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. One of the dangers as we grow as Christians is we become judgmental of those who are not living accordingly to the Word of God. They may fall into sin. They may practice the same sin and never get rid of it. But instead of casting them down and judging them, we need to exhort them, sometimes rebuke them. Yes or no? But we are always to be mindful, hey, we were in the same situation not too long ago. We did the same things not too long ago. And if we're not careful, we become so heavenly minded that we're no earthly good, right? You ever heard that phrase or something similar to it? You know, we become self-righteous if we're not careful, even after salvation. Well, listen, it's but by the grace of God that I am what I am today. His mercy and grace has been absolutely wonderful to me. I thank him for it. But many times when we look at younger Christians, or maybe Christians that weren't trained that are old, even older than we are, been in the Lord longer than we have, but they're not mature as we are, we should not be condemning them. We ought to remember where we are, where we were, and what God expects us to be. And so I want to encourage you with that, because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, is he not? And we are to be like him. So I want to just remind you of that. Now, if you'll turn to Acts chapter 14, or Acts chapter 4, Acts 4. If you remember when I first began teaching this morning, I told you that I could tell you I've matured in the Lord, but that really has no weight to it. It has no value to it, because that's just me bragging on me, right? And when we find ourselves bragging on ourselves, be careful. Run from it immediately. Don't brag on yourself. Amen? Amen. You're welcome. That was free. Acts chapter 4. Look at verse 13, if you will. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. Now here's what I want you to see. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Now, when people see you, and again, we're not to fish for compliments, we're not to try to get people to brag on us, but if I love Jesus, I shouldn't have to tell you that I love Jesus. If I have grown in the Lord, I shouldn't have to go about proclaiming and boasting my own growth in the Lord. It ought to be evident to those that see and to those that know. And I don't expect a lost person to see that I have grown in the Lord or matured in the Lord. In fact, the lost person doesn't understand anything that I've done. You're crazy. Why have you used to have so much fun? No. Yes, it was fun, but it was not helping me. Okay? Sin is pleasurable for a season. But as we look at this, those who were lost here, looking at what was taking place in Peter and John, they perceived, they understood, they noticed that they had been with Jesus Christ. When Moses spent those 40 days and 40 nights on the top of the mount with God, and he came down, did he have to say, "Hey guys, I was just up with God"? They knew he was up there. But was it evident that he had spent time with God? Remember when he came down, his face shone so brightly. They were afraid of him. They were afraid of him. And by the way, people are going to be afraid of you the closer you get to Christ. Don't let it discourage you. Don't let it make you stop trying to get closer to Christ. Please understand that. We need to shine brightly. We need to allow people to see Christ in our lives. And this is something we need to do. But people will take note that you have been with the Lord. I had a lady in our church in Wyoming, in Buffalo. She had just gotten saved. She told me she was saved when I first met her, but I knew she wasn't just from her testimony and things that she was telling me. But it didn't do me any good to tell her she wasn't saved. Okay? That's not Holy Spirit conviction. I needed the Holy Spirit to work in her life, so I began praying for her. She started coming to church more frequently than her own family did that came to church before her. And she started listening. Finally, she trusted Christ as her personal Savior. So then what? Well, it's my duty to begin to disciple her, to train her. And she came to me one time and she says, "Pastor," she says, "I want you to teach me how to pray like you pray." I was like, "Why?" She said, "Because it sounds like you're actually talking to God when you pray." Isn't that what we're doing? Isn't that what it ought to be sounding like? That we're actually talking to our Heavenly Father? And, you know, and again, it may sound boastful of me, but I wanted you to see that I didn't have to tell her anything. She saw that difference. She desired to know something that she didn't have yet. And this is why we've got to continue to grow in the Lord, continue to mature in the Lord. As I told you, there are people watching you. You may have no idea or clue who it is that's watching you. But what happens when we watch people and they stumble? What happens when we study people, follow people, begin to put our trust and faith in them and our hopes in them instead of God? When they stumble, what do? We get discouraged. We start to question things about, is this really what I want in my life? That's the way the world looks at it too, by the way. So keep on being faithful. Keep growing in the Lord, if you will. Let's go to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. We're going to begin in verse 5. As always, let me know when you're there. It says in verse 5, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God," verse 7, "but made himself of no reputation." Jesus wasn't walking this earth and in the ministry because he put himself there. He was sent by the Father. He was not out to make a name for himself, but boy, did he have a name made. There's no other name given under heaven whereby men must be saved. Amen? But Jesus didn't come with the purpose of lifting up himself. He lifted up the Father. He did that always, which was pleasing to the Father. That ought to be our desire. But Jesus is God. He's the Son of God. Amen? He is eternal as the Father is eternal. He made himself of no reputation. Look at here. And took upon him the form of a what? You know, a lot of people don't like that word. Many people like to be served, but Jesus came to serve. Child of God, are you looking to be served? Are you looking for people to recognize you and so you can build your reputation? Or are you following the mind of Christ? You're doing this because this is what the Father wants. You want to please him, therefore you're going to serve him, and by serving him, you serve others. This is something that we need to take consideration of as we judge ourselves, as we look at ourselves, examine ourselves. Am I doing this to gain notoriety for myself? How many of you enjoy receiving recognition for things that you've done? Let's be honest. I enjoy receiving recognition for things that I've done. But the temptation is to start receiving that glory for myself. Hello? That's why no matter what, I do my very best. If someone does give me a compliment about the preaching or teaching or whatever, I say, well, praise the Lord. Listen, I realize that the only reason I can stand here is because of him. But the human side of John Beck, the old man, is still here. He likes hearing praise. He likes hearing attaboy, right? But if I'm not careful, I can start robbing God of the glory that he deserves. Because it's because of him that I can do what I'm doing. Because of things that he has allowed his son to suffer for me, I can do these things. And so here it is. He took on the form of a servant. He was made in the likeness of men. In other words, he didn't stand out. You know, I get really irritated about the portraits of Jesus that have blonde hair and blue eyes. He was born with such a common look about him that people didn't know who he was. Okay? If he was in the Middle East, in Jerusalem, in Israel, as a blonde-haired, blue-eyed person, buddy, he would have stood out. Right? And I don't believe that his hair was yay long either. You see a lot of these portraits do that, and that's just a whole other subject. But he came into this world to his own received him not. But the people didn't know him because of his appearance. The people recognized him because of the miracles that God did through him, through his teaching that he taught the Word of God. He taught what the Father told him to teach. And because of that, people began to recognize who it is. And so when we do whatever we're doing, when we minister, when we live for the Lord, it's not to draw attention to ourselves. It ought to be to draw attention to the Father because of Christ. We are to always be serving one another. Then it says, he was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. Have you ever met a prideful preacher? Hello? Have you ever met a prideful teacher? And by the grace of God, if it weren't for his grace and mercy, I could turn into that. I don't want to. But to humble ourselves, that means we have to deny ourselves. To humble ourselves, we need to be honest with ourselves. How many of you still have some area in your life where you can grow, spiritually speaking? Okay? So keep that in mind, but let's humble ourselves. Let's don't start thinking more of ourselves than we should. And it goes on to say, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now, is Christ wanting you to die on the cross? He wants you to carry your cross, right? He's not wanting you to die on the cross. He wants you to carry it. But are you familiar with Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourselves a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. Let's go ahead and turn it real quick. I didn't plan on having it in the verses, but I got to get through it quickly. Romans chapter 12. I want you to see it. Most people are scared to submit to the Lord because they think that he wants them to die. No, he wants you to live. How can you be a witness if you're dead and your voice is no longer heard? Nobody goes out to the graveyard to hear people witness about Christ. Right? Would you agree with that? Romans 12, verse 1, it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your, what's the next word? Reasonable service. God's not asking you to do anything out of the way. This is something that is just reasonable. It should be accepted. This is something, the basic minimum that we could do. You're acceptable. Reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That all has to do with maturing as well. We're so afraid to die. We're so afraid to die early on, right? I don't want to die. I don't want to die. Death comes to your door, comes knocking. You start thinking about death. Well, wait a minute. What's the future hold? Well, if you're born again, you know what the future holds. To be absent from the body, how many times have you heard this from the pulpit? Is to be present with the Lord. If you're a child of God, correct? So what should we spend our life focusing on? Death? No. Focus your life on living for God. Focus your life on giving yourself to Him, allowing Him to use you as He sees fit. And I don't know where you are in your spiritual growth. You know where you're at, if you're honest with yourself. And it's not my job to tell you that, hey, you should be here, but you're here. Okay? That's God's job. But my job is to, hey, I want to encourage you, if you're here and you should be here, strive to get there. I'll pray for you. I'll help you. If you have questions, I'll try to give you the answer if I know the answer. And I promise you, I won't say something that I just make up off the cuff of my hand. You know, some people do that. If I don't know the answer, I'll tell you, I don't know, but I'll look into it. Amen? But we need to help each other grow. I need you to help me to grow. That's why I ask you to pray for me. That's why I ask you to beseech the Lord on my behalf as I teach, because I don't want to fail Him and I don't want to fail you. How many of you understand? Are you maturing in the Lord? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank You for this time and Your word this morning. And I just pray that You would continue to help us. Lord, You've been so good to us. Father, Your mercy is forever. Your long-suffering. Father, I would dare say that every single one of us here this morning, if we're being honest, we would agree that we could be more mature than what we are now. Father, I just pray that You would create a stronger desire in our hearts and our minds. Lord, that we would give ourselves completely to You and allow You to have Your will in our lives. Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters here this morning. Lord, strengthen them, help them, protect them. Father, You know what they're going through. You know where they're at spiritually. And Father, I just pray that You would continue to work in my life and that You would work in their hearts and minds as well. Father, we ask these things in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.